Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. It is great to have you in live in Los Angeles. Going to be a hot one this week. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I think it's so funny. All I ever hear about California, everybody's leaving. Oh, California, no good. I'm reading a story this morning on Bloomberg, which is a reputable news organization. California's economy, fourth biggest in the world, separated from the rest of America during the pandemic. It's the healthiest it's been ever. We're all okay here. Now, it is going to be hot for the next couple days.
Well, it's summer now, so we'll allow it.
We have beaches. I mean, we have pools and beaches, so we're fine. It's going to be hot. We're going to get like 90 degrees where I live. It's going to be 104, 105 in the valley.
Well, it's a different life for you now because you moved to a different part of town.
It's a little warmer, but I'm okay with it. I got a pool. I'm fine. The dogs are fine. We got shade. We got tree. You know, just hide behind the tree. So that's why they invent.
LA in itself, like the city of LA, has different climates if you go to different parts of it.
It's the only place in America you watch the local weather. You get three temperatures for every channel. You get the beach temperature, the city temperature, and the desert temperature. And you and I live, I live somewhere between the beach and the city temperature.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'll be warm.
Because the desert temperature is next level.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's all different stuff.
Yeah.
But whenever I hear, you got to be careful about guy who's never been to California telling you about California. We're all good here. The economy's good.
Yeah, we had a rough go, but we made it through.
Yeah. So James Jones was on the show last week. He's a friend of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, there's always a message with Aaron Rodgers. He's hosting a press conference right now. You know, he's in that, Bryson DeChambeau, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson are doing that celebrity golf thing. And Aaron's holding a press conference today wearing a shirt saying, "I'm offended." There's always a message with Aaron. It's passive aggressive. There's always a message. But James Jones was saying, oh, let's not read too much into these comments by Mark Murphy about Aaron's a complicated fella. Here is former Packer James Jones.
Listen, I have a very good relationship with Mark Murphy. If you have a relationship with Aaron Rodgers, no, he's not a complicated fella. And that's what anything. You are talking about the future of a Hall of Fame quarterback's career. Yeah, it's going to be complicated. He wants some things, you want some things. So when you do have a relationship with him, no, it is not complicated. Well, so get together, get a relationship with Aaron Rodgers like I have one, and get this thing together, get it fixed.
Well, James, you weren't a franchise quarterback, and you're not prickly, and you're not a guy that has had dust-ups with multiple people. Just, you know, all these days, the last three times I've talked about Aaron, I've taken Aaron's side. So today is pro-Packers side. Let's not make it, frame it like it's easy to have a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. He's had dust-ups public. This is not my opinion. With family, multiple family members. He's had dust up with teammates, multiple teammates. He didn't get along with his last coach. He's now fighting with his front office. He used to, when he played on Monday Night Football and you announced where you went to college, he wouldn't give Cal the benefit of the doubt. He would go Butte Junior College because he was mad at Cal. Aaron gets mad at people all the time. A coach, the front office, Cal Berkeley Bears, his brother. Let's not make this out to be Aaron is so easy to get along with, and the Packers are just evil people. By the way, 99.9% of players who have ever played for the Packers rave about the organization. I've had multiple players tell me Green Bay, knowing that it's a small town, not much to do, treats its players better than any organization in the NFL. They will iron your underwear. They'll do everything. They treat you like gold. The two people they've struggled with, Brett Favre, who, by the way, we have noticed since he left, can be difficult to deal with, and Aaron Rodgers, who has a history of being calculated and difficult to deal with. Now, he's a star quarterback in management. You know, it's not always great, right? Like, so I'm not banging on Aaron. Is that it's these star quarterbacks now, they deserve some love. They are the franchise. They are the ones that carry franchises to Super Bowls. But, you know, we got to be careful about framing the Aaron's easy. He's not easy. We've got multiple instances, public. These aren't even like, I'm not trying to reach for stuff. Brother, parents, teammates, coaches. Now he's holding a press conference today with a I'm offended t-shirt on. You can read into that what you want to read into that. But and maybe this is all a game for Aaron. He's playing with it. He thinks it's funny and it all just entertains him. But let's be careful about, hey, just go have a relationship with Aaron and it'll all be fine. James Jones is easier to have a relationship with than with Aaron Rodgers. And I, you know, Aaron is and I think I've had people, multiple people that know Aaron, I don't, say he'll ghost you. Like, if he doesn't think you have his back all the time, he'll ghost you. Like, he's over. It's over. You and him are over. So he's not easy. He's difficult. Now, some people are difficult. That's okay. I think KD is more impulsive than LeBron James, who's more calculated. But, you know, the framing of this story is getting a little silly where, like, Aaron is on the right and the Packers are difficult. We know, if you have any sources within this league, if you do what I do or Joy does for a living, you ask people who play for the Packers, that community, that organization, they know their limitations. They know they're a small market. They know it's kind of corny. Like, they know what they are. They treat players with so much love. They go the extra mile. They do a great job of coaching them, developing them, supporting them. They'll let you, you know, they'll try to get you work locally, radio, TV, car dealers. They'll do anything they can for you. So this is a really good organization that with Favre and Aaron Rodgers, it's gotten a little murky at the end. But Favre and Aaron are not easy. Okay? They're not easy. So nor is the quarterback position in management an easy relationship to manage these days. It's harder and harder. Deshaun Watson's mad. Carson Wentz wanted out. Matt Stafford, get me out of here. Russell Wilson was ticked. Aaron's not happy. So this stuff is, some of it's predictable, some of it's not. But we got to make sure here we're at least fair about it, which is Aaron can be difficult. I mean, today he's holding a press conference and he's wearing a t-shirt saying, I'm offended. He's just begging to be asked questions. I mean, isn't he?
Yeah, that's not, I mean, but that's what Aaron does. He's just, it's passive aggressive.
That would, wearing a t-shirt is the definition of passive aggressive.
Like, he knows, he's very aware that if he wears a shirt that says that.
So we're going to talk about him for the next 3 days and we're going to ask, and then he's going to rip us for speculating what it means.
Well, if he was literally offended, would you wear a shirt that said you were offended? Like, who does that?
Yeah.
No one would do that.
At this point, Aaron is doing things to poke the bear. Like, he could have gone to Hawaii with celebrities and not put it on social media. By the way, celebrities are in Hawaii constantly.
Yeah, and he has every right to do that.
I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to do it, but it was a poke. Having a great time, playing the ukulele. It was a poke. The t-shirt he's wearing today, just a little poke. So he knows what he's doing. Udonis Haslam has played in the NBA for 18 years. That is a long time. He has been on a lot of flights. That is a lot of wear and tear. That's a lot of bigs you have to guard. He's had 4 straight finals from 2011 to 2014, 14 playoff appearances in 18 years, oldest player in the NBA this season at 41 years old. But there's always value for smart players, hardworking guys, and Udonis Haslam, 3-time champ, is now joining us live. First of all, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've watched you and admire you from afar for a long time. By the way, I don't know where you're at right now, but that looks like Miami behind you.
Oh, yeah, this is my sanctuary. This is where I come to get my peace when I get home.
Okay, I was going to say, there's peace to be had there, by the way. Congratulations. You know, Udonis, you have been in the NBA so long. You've been a part of rebuilding teams and championship teams, and you've played with egos, and you've played with selfless guys. You've seen everything. When you look at Brooklyn, and I looked at Harden, Kyrie, and KD, I say, boy, that thing was kind of thrown together. But it's funny, I didn't think the Miami team you were on with LeBron and Bosch, that never felt thrown together. 3 smart guys, you were there, Riley was there. Go back to that first year when you have all these stars coming to town, Udonis. Was it better than you thought? Was it harder than you thought putting all these stars together very quickly in an off season?
It was harder than we thought. I mean, I think we all thought that we were going to come together and, you know, we were just going to make magic. But first and foremost, we all had to gain each other's respect. I mean, every day, Chris Bosh had to prove to me how good he really was. He wasn't on my team, so I didn't care. D-Wade and Bron would go at it. People didn't know. D-Wade and Bron would go at it. I think the first maybe month and a half was just, you got to prove to me how good you really are because you ain't been here.
Wow. So when you look at the Brooklyn situation, when they didn't play together a lot, I was a cynic. I said, you can't win a championship. Chemistry is, it's hard in life, friends, marriages. Did you think Brooklyn was going to win this year, or did you have questions about just throwing dudes together?
I mean, I didn't know. I knew it was going to take time. I knew it was going to be a process, and the fact that they had a lot of injuries, I knew it would make it a little more difficult. But they're very talented basketball players, and you know, I think I felt like it could work. I felt like they had a good supporting cast. You know, I like Tyler Johnson. I like the dogs. I like the little guys that get out there and they're scrappy and do the little things and the things that might not show up on the box sheet. Jeff Green's a veteran like myself, so I like the mix of guys that they had, mixed in with the stars that they had. If people remember that we had the big three, but we also had the little 12. We called ourselves guys like myself, Eddie House, Mike Miller. You need guys like that, and I think they had those kind of guys.
You know, it's interesting. So we'll pivot now to the 76ers, where Embiid and Simmons are hugely talented, but there's been talk. They're not close friends. Their games are kind of different. You know, Udonis, do you have to get along? Because there are reports that Simmons and Embiid, they're just not boys. Whatever, okay? Does it matter? Does friendship, hanging out, dinners, does it matter in your opinion, big picture?
You know, here it does. I think the way I like to lead, you know, I think I like to lead by bringing guys closer together, spending more time with guys, getting to understand guys off the basketball court. I think sometimes that's what's missing with a lot of these guys. You know, if you notice that we get a lot of guys that, you know, could be underdogs, you know, been in a lot of situations and could be on their way out of the league, and something is missing is not the talent. You know, a lot of these guys in this generation have amazing talent, way more talent than we ever had, but the things that are missing are the things that are off the basketball court. So I definitely think that's instrumental in building a championship the way we do it here. But if you look around in the past and, you know, maybe you think about, you know, what Mike did and what he was able to do. I don't know if he was taking guys out to dinner. Mike was telling you what to do, and you better do it and get it done.
Yeah, no, I mean, Michael and Kobe could rub even teammates the wrong way. Miami's interesting because Jimmy Butler was a guy that in a couple of places did not get along with teammates. I didn't know if he'd work in Miami. It appeared to. But it is interesting because Jimmy's been in this league a while, and you got some Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. You got some kids. I mean, those are young kids. And I do wonder, Udonis, is Jimmy's not a patient dude. Like, you're either going to commit or he's not going to wait around for you. Are you concerned a little bit about are you concerned
that's
about
why it's guys like me, Colin? That's where I come in. I'm usually not the guy that smooth things out, but there are times where I have to smooth things out. And we definitely have, we call it the dog pound. You know, we definitely got a lot of dogs here. And a lot of times, we smash heads and we disagree, but it's all for winning. But, you know, with Jimmy, I don't think Jimmy's just misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? That's the most thing about it. Jimmy's just misunderstood, but here we understand him perfectly. You know, we understand him perfectly, and we understand the standards that he sets, and we understand what he expects, and we strive to get those expectations out of everybody.
There were reports that your young players fell in love with Miami, and let's be honest, it is hard to get in trouble in Indiana. It's easy to have fun in Miami. Are there challenges in the city in which your franchise is based?
Of course it is. I mean, look at the city. You know, why I never left? You know, I mean, ask Joy. I mean, her brother played. He was one of the greatest players of all time, by the way, Miami Dolphin. And I'm a Dolphin fan till I die. So everybody knows Miami's the greatest city in the world. Then they say that we got no tax. I don't know what that means because I feel like I'm always spending money. So something like that. They say we got no state tax out here, but I feel like they always taking my money some kind of way out here, man.
Hey. Live in California for a while, Udonis. Then you'll know what taxes are. I'll tell you that.
I listen to my friend Dwayne complain all the time about taxes in California. I hear that enough.
Okay, so you are a very verbal guy. You emote. You're a talker. By the way, LeBron can be like that. Jimmy can be like that. Kawhi Leonard, It's not verbal. And I've said this about him. Can you be a one and nonverbal? You can be great, but what do you make of Kawhi's personality where he's not overly verbal? He's not overly communicative. Would you struggle at all with that?
I was Kawhi when I first got in there. I didn't say much. You know, I was very, to myself. You know, I was more of a shy, person, if you could, picture that. I didn't speak to Coach Riley, for the first, 2.5 years that I was in Miami because he was riled and I was nervous. Probably the only person I've ever scared of and nervous and shook up with my life was Riley. So, I was Kawhi, and I had to evolve into the person and the leader that I am today. But I think everybody leads differently, and I think the one thing you have to do as a leader that you can't go back and forth on is understand how to motivate your guys and understand that everybody's motivated differently. So just because Kawhi is not the most vocal person that we see on the basketball court doesn't mean that he doesn't spend time with these guys off the basketball court. Doesn't mean he's getting to understand these guys and know these guys' family and different things like that. And I definitely think things like that also impact winning.
Yeah. You know, you've had an amazing career. You've played with so many great players. I want you to go tell me about Dwayne Wade first couple years and Dwayne Wade at the end of his career, because you talk about how you changed as a person. I just remember watching him at Marquette, and I remember thinking, man, he's always on the floor. He's like a fullback. He's always falling. He's not going to last very long. I don't know how good of a shooter he is. And then he becomes an icon. You were there. You watched all of it. Did you know early this kid's going to be an iconic all-time star?
Colin, he spent too much time in the dentist when he first got here. I didn't know what he was going to be. Dwayne teeth was shot, man. When we first got here, man, we had to go to physicals. Dwayne had 18 cavities. I didn't know what kind of player Dwayne was going to be. I was like, man, this man is all over the place, man. But he ended up being a great basketball player. I think one thing that people didn't know about Dwayne is the player that he could be, because once again, we talk about quiet guys. Dwayne was so quiet. He didn't say much. It was almost like I call him Bruce Lee, because when he takes his own blood, he go crazy. If you ever see Dwayne when he plays the game of basketball, anytime somebody, because he think he's the prettiest person in the world, anytime somebody hit him in the face or busts his lip or anything like that is when he goes crazy. So I think Dwayne's personality, who he is off the basketball court, how quiet he is, how personable he is, how nice he is, I think people kind of got that conflicted but the kind of monster he could be when he stepped on the basketball court. And when he got on the basketball court, he's a completely different animal than the personality he portrayed off the court.
Yeah. So can you get, LeBron is so big now. He's like a mogul. Did you feel a closeness to him? Could you get close to LeBron when he was there with you?
Yeah, I'm still close to LeBron. When we went out to play against the Lakers, LeBron and I went to dinner. And LeBron's my dog. I think we all built an unbreakable bond, throughout that run. And we all speak, and not just basketball. Our conversations have evolved where we all, encourage each other business-wise. What you're doing off the court. How's business going? How's family? Different things like that. I think our conversations go to basketball last. Everything is more about, evolution and business after basketball right now. But we talk all the time, man. We're encouraged by what everybody's doing, and, we root for each other. Except for when we playing. I went root for them in the finals last year. Now, we don't root for each other all the time.
Right. Hey, so from where you're sitting right now, where is the Atlantic Ocean? Point to it.
I think it's back there somewhere. Okay. And I ain't pointing at my fish tank, but I think it's back there somewhere.
Udonis, it is great to see you. You recently made a kid's day who was suffering from cancer, and you became friends with him and have been very supportive of him. We had Greg Olson on yesterday talking about children's hospitals and relationships. Tell me about your story.
I mean, the good thing about me being an OG and just being around all these young guys is I continue to evolve. So I've learned how to use Instagram where I can find anybody. So this kid, Michael Kramer, who's a huge, huge Heat fan, and, he was just dealing with some issues with cancer. And, I'm going through Instagram one day, and I see this kid who every day is getting up and he's working out, and he has his Heat jersey on. And, when he first started working out, he was a great looking kid, muscular, surfed a lot. And, I noticed his routine never changed, but physically he changed a little bit, due to the cancer, but his routine never changed. He's still working out every day. He's still smiling. And that was encouraging for me. I think people always look at us as athletes and they're encouraged by us and, you know, they want to do what we're able to do. And, you know, sometimes people don't know, like, who do we talk to? You know, who encourages us? And it's something as little as that. And somebody like Michael just encouraged me. And I reached out to him and let him know that I was encouraged and I wanted him to keep doing what he was doing. And we had an opportunity to meet, took him to Pagani, you know, he jumped in a $4 million Lamborghini. Wasn't mine. No, I can't afford it. But he jumped in a $4 million Lamborghini. He rode out with a professional driver for the day. We spent some time together and I just wanted to put a smile on his face. And I told him, he keep working out, he get himself in shape. And when he gets out, we're going to go surfing. And I'm going to do it.
You're such a good dude, man. 18 years. You really are a good dude. Love having you on the show. You're always welcome. I don't know what you're going to do post-basketball, but just keep in touch because we just think the world of you, and you've been such a good ambassador for the league. And I love the story that you walked into the league and Pat Riley scared you. I love that.
I was a little nervous from Pat, man. I hate to tell people that, but it's the truth. I was a little shit from Pat. I mean, I was a godfather.
Yeah, I saw him at a fight. I saw him at the Conor McGregor fight years ago, and he was the best-looking guy at 65 years old I'd ever seen. He was in incredible shape. He scared me. Totally.
He's sharp.
Yeah.
He's sharp. All my aunties love him. All my aunties love Pat. Yeah. They don't even come to the games to see me. They come to the games to see Pat.
Udonis, thank you. It's great seeing you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, here's a story, Joy. So you're the newsbreaker. Did you see this one?
I don't know. I was riveted by the UD interview.
Shams Charania comes on our show all the time.
Yes.
James Harden plays tonight.
That's great news.
Barring a pregame setback.
So well, they did upgrade him this morning to doubtful. Listen,
if he plays 24 minutes, I'll take the Nets. Yeah, if he plays 24. Just give me six-minute spurts, then I'll take the Nets. Yeah, because they'll play better at home. By the way, the officials in this series... When it went to Milwaukee, it became tackle football.
It got a little ridiculous.
A little?
We keep showing that replay of KD, where he's just like throwing himself.
Listen, the advantage is when you get home court advantage, you tend to get a call or two.
It's very normal. I don't like to complain about officials. But
yeah, best team will win eventually. Yeah. All right, so that's good for the Nets. Harden's going to play. Ever have one of those shirts where you keep going back to it because it's so versatile, it's so comfortable? That's a Tecovas Cotton Pearl Snap. Wear it tucked, untucked, snapped, unsnapped. It just goes great with an undershirt. Listen, pick up a couple of cotton pearl snaps from Tecovas. They're handsome, they're comfortable, breathable, so you can wear them in the heat. They're sturdy, they're strong, and they have new logo t-shirts that also just came out at Tecovas. They're made with Pima cotton. That's a higher quality than your standard t-shirt cotton. All those t-shirts feature original Tecovas artwork. Each has its own personality. And with Tecovas, boots and jeans and belts and t-shirts and pearl snap shirts and baseball caps, head to Tecovas.com in Austin, Texas, or to a Tecovas store near you. They're beautiful stores. And pick up a couple of Tecovas cotton pearl snap shirts with logo t-shirts for spring and summer. Everyday shirts you'll want to wear every day. With Tecovas, wear it and walk taller.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Saturday on Fox, Nolan Arenado and the Cardinals take on Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Braves. Or the White Sox battle the Astros or Reds Padres. It all starts at 7 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
Hey, by the way, California today, today's the day, Joy. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Do you
is
know
that, that? Is that how it works now?
Yeah. Like, you don't have to wear a mask. By the way, yesterday I went into one of my favorite places. There's a juice place by my house. I live right by it, and I go there almost every day. I've seen three famous people there. I ran into Bob Saget at the pharmacy 2 days ago. I said, hi, Bob. He walked right past me. Didn't notice. I was, like Aaron Rodgers, I was offended. It was Bob Saget, the comedian. I walked by him. I'm like, boy, he's tall. Hey, Bob, foo, right by. And then 2 weeks ago, I saw Kelly Rutherford, who I had a crush on forever, at the juice place. Remember Kelly Rutherford was on like one of those shows, 90210 or something?
Yeah.
She was there. Her dog came over and it looked like I was going to run in the street and I kind of stopped it and said, hey, look. And she looked at me and she went, touched her heart. And I thought that's what I did with you for 10 years watching the 90210. It touched my heart. Anyway, so
you're just living this LA life.
So anyway, so yesterday I go into the juicy place, mm-hmm. the juice store, and I don't wear a mask because it has there's a sign that says if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. I'm vaccinated. I'm healthy as an ox. So I walk in there and I look, it's not too crowded. There's like one person. So I walk in without a mask and I stand my distance, very respectful. And then these two hipsters come in and they have masks on and they look like they had been vaccinated. They're very hip and they had masks and they gave me a look like, ew.
They had that vaccinated look.
And I wanted to go out and grab that stupid sign and say, I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, I think California is going to have a little, you know, I just went to Pittsburgh this weekend and the signs are on all the doors. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask.
That's right.
So I'm like, okay. And that's nobody, what I got vaccinated for. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. These big.
I think California is going to be a little more hesitant.
You got a little Hollywood hipster thing
moving into that space.
We're smarter than everybody. We wear masks forever.
I do think it's kind of become an identity thing for some people.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. I'm smarter than you. I wear a mask. Well, you know what? I'm healthier than you. I don't. Well, I got vaccinated.
I wore the mask when I was supposed to.
That's right.
Social distance.
We were good Americans.
I got vaccinated. I did everything I was asked.
That's right.
And now we're supposed to be open, so I would like for
we
that
did,
to
you
happen.
And I did everything we were asked. Stay in your house.
Yep.
Don't go to work. Get vaccinated. Social distance. Be kind. And we did all of it. So yep. Now all we're saying is we're going to go have a Bud Light at the bar and not wear a mask.
Can't wait to go stand at a bar.
Good stuff. Yep. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
We're good Americans, Joy. That's all I know. We're good Americans.
I think I'm a great American.
You are. Yeah, that's what I think. I don't even think good sums you up. Yeah. I think you're a great American.
Thank you. The Nets will be without Kyrie Irving tonight in Game 5 through the ankle injury. Steve Nash also told reporters that he had no idea if Kyrie would be able to return for the series. James Harden was initially ruled out for tonight's game as well, but he has now been upgraded to questionable. He reportedly plans to play, barring any setbacks during pregame warmups.
So this makes this very fascinating. This is a
yes.
Now, I love Milwaukee to start. I was totally wrong. Then I bailed on Milwaukee. And
yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about this series.
But if Harden could give me 24 minutes. That's it for the rest of the series. I will make my third prediction, and I'll take Brooklyn.
Well, FoxBet has the Bucks favored by 4.5 tonight.
I would take...
That was before the Harden news drop. Now the line has been taken off the board.
Take Brooklyn, yeah. Well, you can't bet it, but
yeah.
FanDuel said, no way, Jose, we're getting that thing out of here. I would take Brooklyn.
That's not a great line if Harden is playing.
I would take Brooklyn tonight if Harden... You know, again, he may come out for 2 minutes and the wheels come off, but
I mean, if he's not feeling well in warmups, then he's not going to play. But I just, this is a game that really Brooklyn needs. Yeah. And especially if we are not expecting Kyrie at any point in this series. Yeah. So I know you don't think that this really means anything for KD's legacy. I would disagree. I think people are really looking at this particular series because... You know, I don't feel this way. I'm with you. I think KD's legacy is set.
He's great. He's an all-time great.
He's all-time great. And he won two finals MVPs and the two championships.
He's great.
He's the best player on the best team. We get it. You guys didn't like him joining Golden State. I don't care.
Right.
He still was incredible in the reason that they won.
Right.
So, but there are some people that feel like he needs to win this series.
Oh, come on,
really
people. People
guy.
Are just, folks, are you going to tell me if he loses this series? You have him out of your top 20 all time. He is the best in the last 20 years, last 15. He's probably the greatest go get a bucket guy in the league. The most unstoppable. Even Steph is a smaller athlete. Even Dame's as well. Kevin is. I told you my story about Mark Few, coach at Gonzaga, Team USA assistant. And he went, you know, to their practices. And these are all like Westbrook and Kate, all these great players. I said, what was it like? He said, when you get the world's best basketball players and then KD walks on, there is no defense for him. You can kind of trap a guy, get physical. He's like, there's no defense for KD. Like PJ Tucker is about
he's doing an incredible job.
And only when he's at home and they allow him to tackle.
Yeah.
That's the only way. And they will not allow that tonight in Brooklyn.
No,
that will
not
be allowed.
That's not going to happen. But this is a big game tonight. So the Hawks escapes with a 103-100 win over the Sixers last night to even the series at two games apiece. Trae Young overcame a slow start, finished with 25 points and 17 coming in the second half, and also 18 assists. He was playing through a sore shoulder. Joel Embiid only scored 17 points in the game, went 0 for 12 in the second half as he battled through his knee injury. Ben Simmons had 11 points. Tobias Harris had a team high, 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists.
I thought the game was over. I mean, I thought it was over.
That's what I like about this Hawks team. And they've just they really have some great role players. Trae Young has them motivated, and he can score whenever he wants to. And when he gets hot, it doesn't matter. I mean, it was clunky at the end on both sides.
Oh, God, it was
turnovers. I was like, situationally, that is not going to work against a team that's been there before. But you guys are battling, so I respect it. But it was a fun watch, especially in contrast to the game after that. So game 5 is Wednesday, and the Sixers are favored by 6 against the Hawks in that game, according to Fox Bet. So CBS Sports ranked the top 10 quarterbacks heading into the 2021 season. They included both past performances and future projections. They did not factor in whether each player is committed to their current team or hoping for a new one. So this is their top 10. Patrick Mahomes at 1, Aaron Rodgers 2, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Josh Allen in the top 5, and then Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert at 9, and Kyler Murray at 10.
I would say if you just took Dak out of the 7, put him 10, and moved everybody else up. Dak, now I think they have Dak a little high. That's my only...
Well, I would say they have Dak high considering he's coming off of a major injury. Now,
right.
I think he's going to be fine, but I want to see what his mobility is and all of that. Like, I think long-term he's going to be fine. Like, I don't think Dak's going to take a step back, but in fairness to that situation, yes, I would move Lamar up and probably Kyler Murray.
Show it again. Show the list again.
So it's Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, 1 through 5, then Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, okay. Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray.
I would make an argument. We should go back and do this tomorrow. If you go to the history of the NFL, virtually every decade, there's always been 4 to 5 guys, and that's what I feel here. Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, Allen are 5. Deshaun, I don't put in that top 5. The league, despite all the great quarterback play, if you go to any decade, there's always been 4 or 5 guys that are different. And I feel on this list, even with all the advancements, all the offense, I do feel like Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, Allen are different than everybody else in the league. Now, I do think Justin Herbert has a shot to make it really interesting if this is the right coach and he gets the protection. But I when I watch that list, it looks like the list my entire life. There's 5 guys that are kind of...
Yeah, the top 5. Generally, it's the top 4 that are like everyone agrees.
And then everybody,
maybe you can argue.
And we argue about 5 to 12 we argue over.
Yes. Yeah, but they're always the top ones and the top ones, and they're consistent.
All right, good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau were at a press conference today, and Aaron Rodgers stole the show. That, of course, is coming up next. Wolf and Shepherd is the dress shoe made and worn by athletes. Their founder is a former track athlete and designer who brought athletic shoe innovation to dress shoes. I'm wearing mine today. I'm wearing the brown Italian leather. They're so comfortable. Basically, Wolf and Shepherd's crossover, business meets athletic shoe. So you get the full grain Italian leather on the top. I've got mine on today. Athletic agile sole. Cross-functional design. Comfort and style. The crossover's game for anything. Go to a meeting. I went for a long walk with my wife the other night, about a 20-minute walk. They're just really comfortable. And dress shoes are either too thin and dainty or they're too heavy and clunky. These are like wearing a really comfortable tennis shoe, except with Italian leather. Join the pack. I did. Wolfandshepherd.com, code HERD, H-E-R-D. That gets you 10% discount. Wolfandshepherd.com. Their site has all their merch. Beautiful stuff. They have their knits, their crossover long wings, all good. Wolfandshepherd.com, code HERD.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app, order ahead, skip the line now through June 20th. Use the code THEHERD for $1 off your order. So they're calling it the match. First, it was Peyton Manning, Brady, and Phil Mickelson. And was it Tiger? Was that, was it, It was Tiger, right? Yeah, it was Tiger. And then they played. The weather was terrible, but it was wildly entertaining during the pandemic. There was no other sports on. So we needed a documentary from Michael Jordan and a golf tournament with, you know, Tiger and Phil and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. So it was so successful, they decided to do another match. Aaron Rodgers, Brady, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau. And they went and had a press conference today. And here's Aaron Rodgers wearing the shirt, "I'm offended." When you're a single guy, I think you have time to do all this stuff, go out and make t-shirts. I just would not have the time to do this. But not a shock, Aaron Rodgers came in and you know, wanted to make a statement after Mark Murphy said he's a complicated fella. Now Aaron can use this to say it was just a joke, I wasn't offended, or he is. But it is once again fairly calculated by Aaron Rodgers poking the organization in the ribs. And there are, you know, it's big companies don't like, because there's a lot to lose when you're a big company. Like Charles Barkley came out today and said, "I'm working 2 more years. I'm leaving TNT. It's no fun. Our bosses are cowards. You can't say anything. Cancel culture. It used to be fun. The show's not as fun." And, you know, companies hate that. They'll have 25 meetings at TNT because Charles said that. But the reality, if Charles leaves that show, I'm not watching it. He's this, nothing against Shaq, Kenny Smith, and Ernie. Charles is why I watch. That's why I watch. And companies just have to get more comfortable with a little discomfort, is that this is Aaron's personality. So if he goes to Denver, there's a chance this is going to happen too. So Aaron is, it'd be in an ideal world, your quarterback just says, "Go Hawks." But even the "Go Hawks" guy in Seattle got a little pissy this offseason. Deal with it. Corporations are not going to have the control going forward. That's just the reality of it. NBA teams, the player's more valuable. The TV show, the star's more valuable. The reality is, you know, with Aaron, is he's going to just keep poking in the ribs. Why? Because when you make $35 million a year and you're not married, you can do whatever you want. And you're as talented and as smart, and you can do Jeopardy. So, you know, there's a new world where it used to be the corporate titan just said, "Do this," and you had to do it. And those days are over. There's more platforms. There's more places to go. By the way, in the NFL, nobody did trades. Now everybody does trades. NFL quarterbacks didn't demand anything. Now they demand stuff. So we're having a little bit of a cultural sea change. Is there so much money in sports, and the NFL, it's not going to become the NBA, but just because the CBA in the NFL is so owner GM friendly. In the NBA, it's the collective bargaining is more favorable to the players. In baseball, you know, the umpires have as much power sometimes as as the team. So it's a very unionized sport. So I think with Aaron, it's just, in a weird way, we should all celebrate Aaron because he makes the sport more interesting. The NFL's always been the most corporate sport. It's the most powerful. To give you an example of how powerful the NFL is, the NFL goes to networks and tells you what you're going to pay. I mean, we negotiate for 4 years, but in the end, we have no power because we need it. CBS needs it. NBC needs it. Fox needs it. Now, ESPN is owned by Disney, so they're so big, they push back a little. In fact, I'd make the argument that ESPN's NFL coverage is the weakest of the big four in the last several years. They've also been more critical of the NFL with their SportsCenter and journalism coverage, right? They got the best deal in the NFL contract. Why? Because they have leverage. The NFL rolled over anybody they could, and Disney said, "We'll pull out and won't do it," and they got probably the best deal. Doesn't mean they have the best games or the best team, but they got a better deal. So the reality is when players now have leverage, they use it. And the NFL has leverage, and they use it. And when corporations forever had leverage, they used it. And so I think we've come to a time in America where the athlete now has leverage. You just got to deal with some of it. And the idea that everybody is going to be Russell Wilson, "Go Hawks," that guy this offseason used his leverage. So it's really important now that when you're running an NFL franchise, obviously you want to get good players. You have to get the kind of personality Sean McVay and Les Snead with the Rams. They are willing to move into players, move off of players. They're very flexible. You know, Pete Carroll, John Snyder, Very flexible. We'll move off players. We'll make big trades. You know, the days of being rigid running an NFL franchise, good luck with that. Seattle and the Rams are great examples, and they're two of the top five, six teams in the league. They are deal makers. They have big swings. They'll listen to players. Stuff can go public. I think that's the future of the NFL. I think we're seeing more and more NBA to the NFL in terms of the players have a say.
Well, that's why I've said I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side this whole time. It's not necessarily because I would have done it the same way or I agree with why he's upset or any of that. It just doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers is one of four people. We just did the list
in the world
of the top five, you know, top 10 quarterbacks. Let's call it four people because we don't think Josh Allen is on his level yet.
Not quite.
So let's call it four people in the world walking God's green earth that can do what he does.
Mahomes, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and who was the other one?
Russell Wilson.
That's it.
Yeah. In the world.
And so those four, by the way, in the last year or two, Tom got mad, Russell got mad, Aaron got mad, and Mahomes, for the time being, is perfect.
Right. Yes. So that's ultimate leverage. We know in negotiating and in business, if you have more leverage, you have more power than you usually get your way. Because that's how it works. That's how the balance of things works. And sometimes you have to give back and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Well, if you're one of four people on planet Earth that can do it, if you're unhappy, guess what you got to do if you're the GM? Fix it. Because you're not one of four people on Earth that can do what you do.
That's right. So it's a lot of times people will say, oh, you guys defend the athletes all the time. It's not about that. We don't. We're very critical of athletes. But when you are great, Aaron Rodgers has a lot more options this morning, even as they own his contract, than the Packers do. The Packers could have a hole at the most important position. Aaron's going to have nine teams bid on him.
And I am a defender of reality. So everything that you just said about how the culture of sports has changed, the amount of money you can make outside of sports has changed, the platforms that you have, the world is different. So if you're just burrowing ahead, it's done. Great. See you later. I hope that works out for you. It won't, because everyone else is moving in a different direction.
Players have been controlled forever. Most still are controlled. There's about 2% that have not total control, but some control. Management's always had the control. They're only having to give up control about 2% of the time. So when you really look at this, it's a really easy fix. Be less rigid if you've always had control. The new world is there's more platforms, there's more money, there's more trades, there's more income. Everybody just rigid, though, is a losing proposition. Hour three next.